since 1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041thetruth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're back for an extended segment of American Warrior. We're talking Buffalo Soldiers today and just the amazing history of these men who fought not only for their country. And I tell you, one of our guest quote, I have to keep coming back to it. They had to fight to volunteer to fight. So we're talking Buffalo Soldiers today. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to give us a call. We're live here in the studio, 751-1041. We'll get you right on the air. And I'm joined by Bill McCurtis, who's with the headquarter troop of the 9th Memorial Cavalry, and Aaron Plum with the 10th Cavalry Troop B Foundation. And right off the bat, gentlemen, let's talk about something that we're kind of talking on the break here. Your memorial foundations, the organizations that exist now that both of you are involved with, these are a great resource. And I think some folks may not understand, you're available to go out in the community, not just to speak at schools, but also to perform. You have an honor guard that can come out for funeral services. What are some of the other things, and let's start, Aaron, let's start with you. What are some of the other things that your organization offers to the community at large that folks should be aware of?
Well, we've done, I wouldn't call it camp out, but we've done some reenactment, which is not our basic thing. Our main focus is to tell the story of the Buffalo Soldiers. We don't make money doing this. So we're doing it because we love it, and we think the story needs to be told. So we consider ourselves living historians, and we are available the whole year, not just during Black History Month. Give us a call anytime, and so we can get a heads up on our schedule, and we'll work it in. Bill and I have traveled a lot of miles. Between our home, I live in Northwest Tucson. Bill lives in Marana. We go to New Mexico. We just over in Silver City at the University of Western
New Mexico
University. They're a great school. We talk to fourth graders. I like talking to small kids. They ask a lot of real good questions, and we're available.
Bill?
The thing is, for some reason, we're able to really reach these children. Don't underestimate your child.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are a lot smarter than we were when we were coming up. So don't, you know, at a certain point, you got to stop considering them as babies and being able to just play with Tinker Toys. Because these kids grasp the idea and the history of Buffalo Soldiers so quick, it will make your head spin. You know, most people don't realize what the Congressional Medal of Honor cost. And when you say, put it like that, people put a dollar sign on that.
Mm.
These kids don't. They understand that medal has cost lives.
Mm-hmm.
The person that is wearing that medal is wearing it for the people that can't. They never wanted that. A child grabs that so fast. I've had phone calls from when we first went into Iraq. Frontline soldiers calling me, said, Sergeant Major, you remember when you came to the school?
Wow.
And I'm going, holy crap, where are you? He says, I'm about to get in the middle of a battle. And thanks to the Department of Defense, our organization had that capability. And, you know, the impression is there. A lot of people will not remember the 50s TV series, Wild Bill Hickok with Guy Madison and Andy Devine. It's Jingles. Guy Madison's grandson went to Iraq. Mm. He was my godson. And I had to bury him.
Mm.
This history stays. We go to federal prisons. When you can put a tear in a hardened criminal's eye because you touched on something that concerned his family, you are doing that job. That's why Aaron and I decided not to let this history stay buried another 140 years. It ain't happening.
What? Tell us about the next generation. We're all here for a set amount of time. We don't know the number, but a set amount of time. How are, is the next generation embracing it? Who are the next Buffalo Soldiers? Do you, in your organizations, do you see 20-somethings, maybe some young veterans coming out of the military now, or is there a... I bring that up because one of my concerns is in our community is I see a gap, a leadership gap, a community service gap, if you will, there. And young people aren't as much, I'll say, don't strike me as much as joiners as they used to be. Do you see that in your organization as well, or do you, what is your hope level for that?
Well, I'm going to pass that over to Aaron. Aaron will tell you, I'm the type of person... I'm not politically correct. I never have been. My oath of enlistment that I took in 1965 will not let me be politically correct. This is my country.
Well, good once you become a military man, you stay a military man for the rest of your life until they either bury put you under or scatter you in the wind.
Yeah.
But we do have a problem with younger people wanting to be a Buffalo Soldier. There's a few, they come in, they stay for a while, and they leave. I don't know whether, maybe it's because Bill and I require you to learn the history. We don't have to make this story up. It mm-hmm. stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
We don't add nothing to it. We don't take nothing away from it. Unlike a movie which got a smooth, transition smoothly, we just tell the story like we understand it. And I think I mentioned earlier that I don't know exactly what I'm going to say when I start talking. The Buffalo Soldiers talk to me, through me. They tell me what to say next. So, like when we was talking to the little kids, they asked very good questions. I got this one thing I always do to get them started, ask them how many you guys like beans. They all raise their hand. And I said, for every day, for a week, they all raise their hand. Every day for a month, hands started coming down. Every day for a year, very few hands left. But I get their attention. And once you get their attention, you open it up for questions. These kids ask you a lot of questions, very good questions. So we would like to get older guys, like maybe a 20-year-old, because most groups... a bunch of old guys, you know, we are, mm-hmm. We taking this history with us if they don't come out and carry it on, you know. I never rode a horse before I moved to Arizona, which was 14 years ago. And I got into the Buffalo Soldier, and I ride a horse. I've been in quite a number of parades. I was in the Rose Parade 2 years in a row, Bill and I. And so we just try to make ourselves visible, and we wear the uniform. And it's not a cheap uniform to buy. It's stuff we use costs a lot of money. But you can get a little bit at a time like I did, and you eventually will get it.
Folks, if you have a question or comment, great resource here. Give us a call, 751-1041. The 9th Cavalry can be reached, www.9thcavalry.com, and that's 9, the numeral 9. And then for the 10th Cav Troop, let's see, it's www.10thcavtroop.com. B.org. You can reach out to them, get more information, find out how you can get involved supporting what they're doing, or if you need them or you'd like these two gentlemen to come out and speak to your class, to your organization, to be involved in an event in town, please don't hesitate to give them a call. Coming back to your the comment about that. Do you think that maybe it's an issue where folks, when they think about the Buffalo Soldiers today, they think of it strictly in the context of the reenactment?
Well,
and there are organizations that do that, but you guys are so much more than that.
Oh yeah, but you know, people are hung up on that Bob Marley song. And I guarantee you, in the United States military, there is no history of a Rasta. And you will not wear dreadlocks. I guarantee you. Now, I know it sounds kind of hard, but I'm old Army. I walked in there when they could still take their foot and whatever.
Okay, that's
or idea. If or reach and grab
it's a family
you
show,
if
though.
You yeah if, or reach and grab you if you messed up.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, and Jim, we are not playing that Buffalo Soldier song. Right? I didn't think so. Folks, we'll be right back. Extended version of American Warrior. This is your host, Ben Bula Garcia. Stick around.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
And we're back on American Warrior with an extended version today. We're talking Buffalo Soldiers. This is your host, Ben Bula Garcia. I'm joined by Bill McCurtis and Aaron Plum. And sort of transitioning here, gentlemen, we were talking about the history of the Buffalo Soldiers and the stories, but we've sort of moved into the work that you do with young people and the work that your organizations do today. And there's a great story about something that you are involved in, and it made me think of it when we had a caller talking about the Missing in America project. And tell us Isaiah's story, if you would.
Well, when my wife and I came to Arizona in 93, she got me involved in a group of 10th Cavalrymen there in Phoenix. And they put me in as their historian. And it's like, you know, why are you doing this? I'm a truck driver. Leave me alone. But the president told me, he says, you know, we got a Buffalo Soldier buried behind the county hospital, and we can't get in there to mark the grave. So he took me back over there behind that hospital, and sure enough, this huge area back there, and the weeds were at least waist high.
Now, this is in Phoenix.
In Phoenix. And, you know, he couldn't get access in there. Nobody would admit that there was a Buffalo Soldier in there, but he had found the guy's name. So as time went on, you know, my wife and I, we formed the 9th Cav, but we still kept tabs on this. And finally, we kept so much tabs, they started cutting that grass. Mm. And then we found out that there was almost 3,000 graves back there, unmarked.
Whoa, slow down. There are 3,000 people buried behind the hospital nobody knew about?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Convenient fire, no records.
Mm.
Okay? So we couldn't exactly pinpoint where Isaiah was. Now, Isaiah was with the 24th Infantry. He was a corporal. And he is associated with Sergeant Benjamin Brown. They were escorting an Army payroll over by Safford, Arizona, when it was robbed by bandits. Well, Isaiah and Benjamin suffered the most serious wounds, but they fought those bandits off, although they did get away with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah alone crawled and walked 2 miles to a ranch house to get help. Okay? And again, they never found that payroll either. So don't go looking for it. Forget it. Isaiah was buried in a pauper's grave. You know, he didn't have anything when he passed. So for 80-some years, he laid behind that county hospital. Then Congressman J.D. Hayworth called me up one day. He says, Bill, he says, I think we can get in the general area where Corporal Mays' grave is. He says, I'd like to put a headstone in there. You know, it may not be on his grave, but at least we'll recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, do you want to be a part of this? I'm going, heck yeah. And I mean, beautiful ceremony. Oh my God, it was a beautiful ceremony. And time went on, a couple of more years, and we were at the Laurie Piestewa celebration. And my secretary ran.
But I remind folks who Lori was.
Oh, Lori,
I think
was the
forget,
first. Yes, yeah, she is the first Native American woman killed in service to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the cutest kids you'd ever want to see. But my secretary ran over and she said, Bill, there's some guy over here talking about digging up Isaiah. I'm going, that's not going to happen. And she takes me over there, and here's a 6'4" guy. And he introduces himself. His name is Ron Epic. And he says, I'm with the Old Guard Riders. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm the president. I said, okay. He says, we want to dig up Isaiah Mays. And I said, over my dead body. And he says, wait a minute. He says, let me explain. He says, we've got the technology now. We can locate the remains. And I thought about it. I said, dude, if you can do that, and you do this with honor,
mm-hmm.
then you have my blessing. We'll assist you. I said, but if you're doing this for your own gratification or self-notification, you will not like me. And God is not going to like you after you get through not liking me. And he says, no. He says, no. He says, This is what I want to do. He says, I want to get the remains. He says, Isaiah's place is in Arlington. I said, yeah.
Absolutely.
And he says, well, he says, I'm working in conjunction with Chaz Jackson with the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club of Phoenix, Arizona. And I was on Motorcycle Club? I haven't heard of a motorcycle club. He says, okay, you guys are going to get together. And that was one of the best meetings with these two guys. Because it was March of 2009, and we used to do Festival of the West, which was a week long thing. And I told Chaz and Ron, I said, look, I said, you know, I've got to do the celebrity table. We're opening ceremony, the color guard, the whole nine yards. I said, as soon as I get through there, I can turn what I need to do over to my guys. I can come help you dig.
Mm.
And all that morning, that Thursday morning, I kept getting calls from Ron and Chaz. People were stopping, coming by. Two Phoenix policemen dropped their weapons and got in that hole and dug.
Wow.
The director of Arlington brought two Medal of Honor urns. He brought two. About 11 o'clock Friday morning, I just got done with the celebrity table. I was telling my vice president what I wanted him to do with the troop the rest of the day. The phone rang, and it was Chaz. He said, Bill. I said, what up, dude? And he just kind of paused. He says, we got him.
Wonderful.
And I just, man, all of those years. And we got him to Arlington. And the Secretary of the Army attended his reinterment. But,
hey, good on you, brother. Thank you. And that just goes to show what, you know, you talk about generations and the importance of this continuing on, and not just the memory and the history of the Buffalo Soldiers, but the spirit, the camaraderie, the support that Bill just described there, Aaron. Does that reflect what you see in your organization and some of the other people you talk to out there?
Yeah, you know, I meet military guys all the time, and it doesn't matter what branch they're in. We have a long conversation, and my friends ask me, do you know that guy? I go, no, I don't know him. I don't have to know him, not personally, for us to talk. And we talk about all kinds of things. And the Missing American and the Wounded Warriors and all those groups, we will be willing to participate in anything they have going. VFW, American Legion, we did a flag raising ceremony with a group. We had to ask to be part of that group. They said, we didn't even know you guys was here. Well, we are. And the University of Arizona, I find out they don't even teach that in their history class.
They don't teach what?
About Buffalo Soldiers or anything like that.
Nobody does.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. I grew up in the South segregated schools.
Me too.
We had Black History Month. I never heard of Buffalo Soldiers.
And people don't realize. You know, you talk about Carter G. Woodson and all of them. Who gave them the chance?
You know, remind me of the name because I'm going to miss it. But I know, in fact, that the PA, the historian there, Fort Huachuca, is going to kick me for this. But there is a gentleman who is a U of A graduate who is the son of a Buffalo soldier, went to U of A, graduated from U of A, became the flight surgeon for the Tuskegee Airmen, and then actually was a flight surgeon for the Mercury astronauts. And his name is escaping me, but, I mean, what a famous, huge, huge U of A alumni.
Yeah.
And it just shocks me. Okay, if we don't think, we're all the, yeah, my age, you don't think about it, it'll come to you. But,
welcome to the club.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm shocked by that they don't teach that. So,
well, you mentioned U of A. Do you know there's a professor over there that has one of the most amazing histories in this country? He's a retired, I believe, lieutenant general. No, major general. Julius Parker.
Oh, yeah, I know Julius. Good man.
All right, do you know his
I don't know all about him, but he used to, when I was at the Chamber of Commerce, we used to work quite a bit together, yeah.
Mm. He's directly related to Quanah Parker.
Wow, okay.
The Comanche's greatest chief. My wife looks exactly like Quanah's mother, Cynthia Ann, because that's her ancestor.
Mm.
So, you know, you never know what you got standing in front of you. History for this country is so important. And it is important to tell it correctly.
Right.
No more playing with it.
So, Do your research. For the people listening out there, I'm excited about this. I didn't know about it. I want to learn more about it. Simple answer is get in your car and drive down to Fort Huachuca. Visit the museum. Visit the graveyard. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to spend a very sobering afternoon, spend it in the graveyard there at the Porcelain of Fort Huachuca. There's some, and just look at some of the headstones there. So,
yes.
Aaron, you were about to say something.
Bill and I, we met some Native American, the Mascalera, over in New Mexico. They invited us on the reservation. We got to see stuff that the average American doesn't get to see.
That's right.
And just last week, we was over there again, we was talking, and I think something is about to come about. And so we're going to take advantage of this, and whatever they want to talk about, we're going to do it just to see where this goes. And who knows, we might be making another truth.
Just might. Because people, you have to understand, in the 1800s, the Native American was our assigned enemy. But what you don't know about Buffalo Soldiers, nowhere on the record of any of those four regiments will you find where we committed an atrocity.
Yeah.
But you will find troopers that were given dishonorable discharges and 2 years hard labor for doing so much as giving a blanket to an Indian woman and her child so they didn't freeze to death.
Now, that's a really good story. I want to follow up on that because that is with between the Apache and the Buffalo Soldiers. You think two groups that have reason to not bury the hatchet, if I may use that term. But so we'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a break. You can call us, 751-1041. Great guest here today. Give us a call.
To reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm joined by Bill McCurtis, who is the founder of the Headquarter Troop, 9th Memorial Cavalry, and Aaron Plum with the 10th Cavalry Troop B Foundation. We've been talking about Buffalo Soldiers, and, you know, in the first hour we talked a little bit about the history and just some of the amazing achievement of these troopers, but now we're sort of expanding that and talking about the current day and young people and how important it is for folks to remember this kind of history. Listen, if you have access to the base, on the 26th of February at 8 in the morning. Davis Monthan is presenting a special Black History Month breakfast. The speaker is going to be Trooper Floyd Gray, who is the historian for the 9th and 10th Horse Cavalry Association, the Greater Southern Arizona chapter. He'll be talking about the Buffalo Soldier history and the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. So if you have access to the base, you might want to look into that. That's the 26th of February, breakfast at Davis Monthan Air Force Base. Gentlemen, back to you. We're talking a little bit before the break. Bill, you could continue your thought. We're talking before the break about some of your thoughts about. But yeah, I mean, I tell you, God bless you. You're talking about Isaiah and the success you had repatriating his remains in Arlington. But that's just one example of the sorts of things that you gentlemen, you both served. Bill, you in the Army. Aaron, you in the Navy. You continue to serve our communities. Continue. We're talking a little bit about what if folks want to see, if they want to experience, and I just mentioned Fort Huachuca, but what other sorts of things can people out there do to get engaged and get involved and help you preserve the history? Aaron, we talked a little bit about an effort to raise money for a memorial statue. What other sorts of things like that are going on out there where folks can get engaged right now if they choose to?
Invite us out, and we'll come out, and we have the ability to set up a camp if they want to see about what it looked like when as the soldier was out in the field. Like I say, we've done steam pump ranch up in Oral Valley where we set up camp, and we have on display our weapons and tents and just anything that a person would have used back in those days. And one of the questions we get, are you guys hot in that uniform? Sometimes it gets pretty hot, but we never pay that much attention to it because back in the 1800s, those guys couldn't go to the 7-Eleven or have a bottle of water.
Yeah,
they had to find water wherever they were. They had to be very resourceful. We talked about some of their duties. One of their duties was to either build or refurbish a fort. They found water in locations where, that they weren't just ready or available. They protected the settlers as it was coming across. They fought against the outlaws. They protected the cattlemen. They protected the railroad workers. Everybody had a little bit of a settling as well. The Chinese, the Mexican Americans, we all was out here at the same time, believe it or not. We didn't just come here last week. We came when everybody else came. So one of our things now is to continue to tell that story. We also are trying to leave a legacy for the next generation. Sad to say, we might be losing it for us knowing this history. So that's why we do this.
And I tell you, that's one of the reasons I really wanted you gentlemen on, because I feel very, very strong about the importance of that. There's so many stories that were recounted just orally from generation to generation, and then nobody ever recorded them, however that might be on paper, with photographs, recordings, and then that's lost forever. And yeah, just what a shame to lose not just this history, but the ideas behind that history, the concepts. And in particular, we're talking about when you go out and you talk to young people and the idea to motivate a young person by saying, look, okay, yeah, we all went through teenage angst, but it might not be as bad as you think it is. Let's look back at this person. Let's look back at how other people handled adversity and use that as an inspiration, as a rock to build the foundation of your life upon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aaron touched on something that most people don't realize. You say Buffalo Soldiers, first thing pops in your mind is black guy.
Hmm.
Wrong. Because just in the 9th Cav, I have found on our enlistment rolls, there were at least two Hawaiians. There was a white guy from Canada that couldn't prove he was white. There was another one that asked General, he was Colonel then, Dudley, N.A.M. Dudley, if he could transfer from the all-white 5th Cav to the 9th Cav, because he got tired of pulling guard duty and all the extra duty for the guys in the fifth cav when they got drunk. So he wanted to be with a unit that knew how to fight. And I'm running down a rumor that Colonel Grierson, who put the 10th cab together, actually enlisted some Chinese from the railroad. So, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Now, earlier you said, you know, there's huge concern about our kids losing their history. And, you know, it's a sad thing. But the only thing people like Aaron and I can do is get out there. When you tell the history, tell it truthfully. And everybody's not going to listen, but somebody will. And that somebody is going to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were shocked that when we went to visit the Mescalero, they knew so much about the 9th and 10th. But then, too, it was us that put them on that train at Holbrook, Arizona, to the prison in Florida.
Well, tell me more about that, because that, as I mentioned before the break, that is such a powerful story. And there was there a documentary or something? I thought I saw that you were going back to New Mexico to participate in this or to view the filming of this documentary about that.
Well, we haven't seen it yet. I hope the guy's finished with it.
Okay.
But that's actual fact, because they put Geronimo in that, too. Mm-hmm. That was just basically the end of the Indian Wars period. But, you know, we didn't know these people were going back to conditions like that. We had no idea. And even if we did, there's nothing we could have done. But to have them invite us into their home, you know, we were enemies.
Mm-hmm.
We fought fiercely. But we fought with honor and respect. That makes a huge difference. So they invited their enemy into their home. Let's see if we can heal this.
Is there any plans to bring them back over here, some representatives of the nation, over to Fort Huachuca, or is that a bit of a stretch?
I really don't think that'll be a problem, but, you know, you've also got the people up at Fort Apache. You've got the people down here at the Sand Collars.
Right.
This is all one tribe. This is the Apache Nation. And for our organizations, the 20 years the 9th Cav has been in existence, we have been watched at everything that we have done by the Native American. Every so often they'd say a little something here or ask a little question there. But it just built and built. And being over there in New Mexico at that particular time, I guess you can call it destiny. Well, that's the only way I can look at it.
Yeah, I've been at talks, and I noticed that there were a couple Native Americans in the audience. They didn't say anything. They just watched.
They just watched.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they wanted to make sure that mm-hmm. we told the story right. I guess we did, because they came out and invited us to come over to the reservation.
You know, give them their respect.
We took part in their centennial when they came back from back east to prison. They did a centennial in New Mexico, and they invited us to participate in the parade. And actually, we were in a truck, and I decided, well, we can't talk to people being in a truck, so we got out of the truck and walked the route.
Yeah, they held up the parade.
Yeah. Shook hands, felt like a politician.
They looked good out there. Man. I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they had runners running from the reservation in Oklahoma all the way here.
Wow.
Yep.
And they came across the mountains. They didn't, not to forget the interstate. They came across the mountains. Beautiful. Beautiful. And the ceremonies that night, oh, my God. The general public will never see that.
Hey, folks, if you'd like to know more or get involved, you can reach the 10th Cavalry at the 10thcavtroopb.org. That's the number 10, TheCavTroopb.org. Or for the 9th Memorial, you can reach them at the AzCavalry.com. You might also want to look into the Arizona Buffalo Soldiers chapter. That's azbuffalosoldiers.org. Gentlemen, coming back to you mentioned just a lot of time you've been spending in New Mexico talking to young people. What is the perhaps the most surprising question you've ever gotten? And, you know, they say from the mouths of babes. Is there anything that really struck you as just it kind of took you aback in a good way, you know? Or what wisdom have you learned from these young people or as you're out speaking to groups?
One thing, is usually girls in the group, and they want to know, were there any female Buffalo Soldiers? Well, we do have an answer to that. Kathy Williams was a Buffalo Soldier. Matter of fact, she was in the infantry, which meant she walked. She did the same thing the guys did. And so we try to tie the girls into our conversation, too.
And that's a great story. Let's get to that after the break. Folks, if you have a question, give us a call, 751-1041. Extended version of American Warrior. We're talking Buffalo Soldiers. We'll be right back.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. If you want to support them, start with WoundedWarriorProject.org. Now, back to the American Warrior on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back for just a few more minutes here on an extended version of American Warrior. If you're hearing the bumper music saying, wait, I already heard that today. Well, that's because we've got 2 hours talking Buffalo Soldiers. We're here with Bill McCurtis with the 9th Memorial Cavalry and Aaron Plum with the 10th Cavalry Troop B Foundation. And we're talking about Buffalo Soldiers and not just the history, but just the ideas and the lessons learned and just how important it is for us as Americans, but in particular as Southern Arizonans, not to forget this and to embrace this history and respect it and to carry it on. Now, Aaron, you were a story I had forgotten all about. There was a woman who pretended to be a man and served as a Buffalo Soldier down here at Fort Huachuca, if I'm not mistaken. And tell us about her. Was it at Fort Huachuca? Or?
No, that was Fort Baird and Fort...
Yeah, Fort
okay,
Baird.
Okay, my mistake.
But yeah, Fort Baird.
She didn't walk this far.
Okay.
She walked a long time.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord, yes.
Anyway, yeah, she... Kathy Williams, that's... you know, I usually tell people, you can Google it if you want to know the long story, the long version. We always bring it up because there's girls who wants to know about Buffalo Soldiers and what were they involved. You're talking about young kids asking the questions, and that's one of the questions that always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing, if people want to really see how the Buffalo Soldiers lived back in the days in Fort Stanton in New Mexico in July, there's a big encampment where there'll be Confederate cavalry, infantry. Everybody will be over there. A lot of the civilian be dressed in period. We live in the tents. People cook out. You go to a military ball. Had to learn how to dance. Take the spurs off.
Oh yeah.
And folks, these guys are wearing spurs in the studio here. Is that accurate? So. Yeah.
So that's a good chance to see people living like they would have been living back then. We get into character.
They serve beans?
Yeah, they serve beans. They serve stew.
You got to taste the cake.
Dutch oven.
Civil War cake made with Jack Daniels.
Huh.
Yes.
No, you got to eat some hot tack.
That cake... It's phenomenal.
Okay.
But it's an actual recipe.
For anyone over the age of 21.
For anyone over the age of 21.
And listen, Tanya Linton, if you're listening, I got to say this. The gentleman we talked about before, Vance Marshbanks Jr., was the son of a Buffalo Soldier who went on to be involved as the flight surgeon for the Tuskegee Airmen and then also with the Mercury astronaut program, a U of A graduate, someone we should all be very, very proud of right here from Southern Arizona. How's that? We got back to it. Thanks to your friend Google.
Yeah. We belong to a group. Well, we don't belong to a group, but there's a group in Scottsdale, Arizona, who every year is high school kids, and I think there's a chapter here in Tucson. They take the story of all the veterans. I did it 2 years ago, and they do a really good job. And what they do, you tell your story, they put it in a nice hardcover book, and that story goes into the Arizona archives, mm-hmm. which is another way to keep the story alive. We're losing World War II soldiers a high number per minute every day. Every day, these guys are gone. And if they don't get that survey out there, it's gone forever.
It's gone forever. It's gone forever.
So, anytime you get a chance to go listen to these guys, do it.
Now, as part of your organizations with the Buffalo Soldiers, do you have an archive function? Do you have and Bill, you'd mentioned you were first recruited as a historian. Is there, if folks are out there and they discover that they might have a relative or they find something, can they give that information to your organization? Do you recommend that? Do they need to get it to the Smithsonian?
Give me a call or an email.
Okay.
Soil samples.
Okay. And they can reach you. Let's see if I get this right. Bill, you are at 9th Cav, Cavall, AOL.com. Yeah. NINTHCAVAL.
Yeah, give me that too.
At AOL.com.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, and kind of lastly, we've got just a few minutes left in the program here. And I want to bring it back around to the young people. I had seen something, and I don't know if it's your organization or another one, that in effect has sort of a Buffalo Soldiers boot camp where they work with troubled youth, or is that ring a bell?
Okay.
Okay, our source here in the back of the studio says that's Vision Quest they don't do anymore. Okay.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You got too many restrictions nowadays.
Oh, sure,
and,
sure.
You know, if you're going to work with at-risk kids, you better have the formal training.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what I said earlier about people doing things just to get the recognition from the name. And, yeah, that happens a lot with Buffalo Soldiers. A lot. And folks just don't know the history. One way we're gonna kind of emphasize this to the public is September 1st next year. I'm gonna put my foot in the stirrup. Aaron's gonna be beside me and two other guys. We're gonna start a 2,600-mile ride to New Orleans, Louisiana, where the knife was put together. Along the way, we are looking for the samples of the original Buffalo Soldiers from all four units. We're going to symbolically take each regiment back to where it was formed. Nobody's asking us to do this.
Mm.
These are our guys. It's one way we can show them that with us they succeeded. That's just giving them their honor.
And that's even more impressive given that Aaron just learned how to ride a horse when he got here to Arizona, right? So you're okay with that?
Yeah.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm good with it now. My other horse is a Ford 150.
Yeah, it's inside joke, folks. I was teasing Bill off the air. I said, you know, the cavalry goes in helicopters now. You do understand that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an old tanker. Go ahead.
One of our premier strike forces is the 1st Cav Division down at
mm-hmm.
Fort Hood.
Mm-hmm.
2002, I did that ride to New Orleans by myself. And Hood hosted me for 2 weeks. Now, the 9th Cav and the 8th Cav, the headquarters were in the same building. All right? So, both of the command sergeant majors for each unit are black. And they're playing on the computer, and Sergeant Major Sales says, oh, see, you think you were a tanker back then, huh? And I said, Sergeant Major, you ain't got nothing I can't command. And he says, oh, is that right? He says, well, we're having battalion firing exercises tomorrow. You think you want to go see what a real tank can do? I said, you got to show me a real tank, Bubba. And all the time I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get into an A-burst.
Yeah.
That next morning, that's exactly what happened. Both sergeant majors got together. And for an old tanker, my God, They let me drive it. They let me gun it. And they couldn't get me out of it.
You wanted to re-enlist, huh?
But, oh, good Lord, yeah. But all four of the regiments, they know the regimental mottos. They know when you pass someone in your regiment, you speak that motto. He can be officer, enlisted, or NCO. The ninth is, we can, we will. The tenth is ready and forward. And my God, when we went into Iraq and Turkey finally let us come through, the first one off that plane was Lieutenant Colonel Thomas McDonald. First and the ninth with the regimental flag. Oh, my God. That's my boy.
History. History brings it all around. So we've got just a couple minutes left, gentlemen. Each of you want to maybe just take a minute and share what some final thoughts about what you've experienced, the history, what you want people to know. I'll kind of read off the contact information here as we're getting done. So, Aaron, you want to start?
Yeah. I can't overemphasize wanting people to call us, invite us out so we can tell the story, especially here where I live. I live here in Tucson.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to the people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been at old Tucson studios to talk to the kids and a couple schools here. Like I said, Steampunk Ranch. But, mm-hmm. Hey, the university, we're ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bill, any last thoughts?
Well, the only thing I can say is this. You know, I'm not a real religious person. You know, I've been a truck driver for 43 years. Got 8 million miles behind me. But out of all of that, the oath I took is still good. The only thing I can tell people is, till I take my last breath, I'm still standing there. I'm still on the border to give you your chance. That's it.
Well, well spoken. Gentlemen, it has been truly, truly an honor to have you here in the studio and a blessing to have you here in the studio in uniform. Folks, I'm going to take a picture and put it up on our Facebook page, American Warrior Daily Mail. You can see it for yourself. If you would like, and I hope you will, like to reach out to these gentlemen, have them come out and speak or make an appearance or get involved with your organization, give them a call. The 10th Cavalry Troop can be reached as www.10thcavtroopb.org. The 9th Cavalry can be reached www.9thcavalry.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for correcting me on my history. Thank you for sharing the message with the people of Southern Arizona. And I hope that people out there listening will not just contact you. This is history not just for February. This is history for all year round. Now, they may not like to come out in their uniforms in June when it's a little bit warm out there, although Aaron seems like a trooper. He's Navy. He'll do it.
We do it any time.
What is the most odd thing that's happened? Anybody ever get bucked off?
Always.
Well, we don't talk about that on the radio?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
The odd thing, when President Bush came to dedicate the hangar at Falcon Field, back in, what was it, 2001, something like that? A week before that, we were called to be his special honor guard.
Hmm.
And it's ironic, because after President Roosevelt got elected to the presidency, he did a tour of the country. At the Presidio in San Francisco, his honor guard was the 9th Cav.
Wonderful. Wonderful story. And you're willing to come out and do the same thing. Show
anytime.
Fly the colors and let folks learn more about it.
Anytime.
That's right. Anytime. Thanks, gentlemen, for inviting us.
Thank you for being here. This has been your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. I hope you enjoyed the program. Tune in every Sunday beginning at noon. Tell your friends. American Warrior Daily Mail is back. Thanks for tuning in.